So, how can you become better at everything? How can we become better at everything? I mean, like everything, every aspect of life, whether you're talking about your relationships or your marriage or your relationships with your neighbors, or you're talking about how good of a worker you are at your job or your career. How can we become better at everything? Because growth is possible. But I think you and I all know that growth is hard, isn't it? Right? You want to get better at becoming a good parent, well, and you're trying on your own, you can't do it. Well, you know what? There are classes you can take. You can get counseling, family counseling. It's a lot of hard work, but you can improve. Growth is possible, but it's hard. You want to be a better worker, a better welder, a better electrician, a better CEO, a better accountant. You can become better if you go and get all the skills that you need. And you can go through training, and the training is long and it's tedious and it's hard, but you can get better. Growth is possible, but it's hard. You want to be a better spouse? You can go to a marriage seminar and multiple marriage seminars, multiple marriage retreats. That's the ones that really work are really hard, but it's possible. What if I told you there is a way to improve every area of your life? That didn't take a lot of time, didn't take a lot of commitment, but it would have life-changing implications. How can you become better at everything? At everything worthwhile doing? How can you become better at everything you are currently doing? As we're continuing our journey through 2 Timothy, we come to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, and as the Apostle Paul in jail, soon to be executed, is writing to one of his disciples, who he calls his son, Timothy, a young pastor. He writes this to him. Verse 10, "But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe." So he's saying to Timothy, he's encouraging him, first of all, he says, okay, you have followed me in all my teaching, my conduct, the way I've lived, the purpose, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in all areas of life, trusting in Jesus, his faith, his patience, his love, endurance. And he says he's also endured the persecutions with Paul. And Paul makes this a side note that everyone who follows after Jesus will suffer some form of persecution. And it doesn't have to be a kind of persecution you've read about in books or you'll see in movies. If you follow Jesus, you've probably experienced persecution, and it's probably number one happened within your family when you have a son or daughter reject the gospel and belittle you because of what you believe and it's outdated. Whether you have a spouse, why are you wasting your time going to church? Or an aunt or an uncle or cousin or a parent? That's persecution. We've talked about it before, but persecution's a spectrum, right? On the one end, you have martyrdom, where you're murdered for following Jesus, and that's the worst of it. And we don't compare, you know, my family member making fun of me and sending me nasty texts about on Easter. We don't compare that to being martyred, but it's lower here on the spectrum. But it is persecution, and it does hurt, and it is difficult. And my guess is, if you have been faithful to Jesus, even a little bit in your life, you've experienced that persecution, that pain. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He says this, evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. Right? So that's both an encouragement and a warning, right? Like, you see evil people doing things and you go, man, they have all the power, they have all the money, they have all the influence in the world. But Paul tells them, don't worry. They're going to go on being deceived. Their evil will come back on them and destroy them ultimately. And they'll go continue to get worse and worse and worse. You don't keep going get worse. Don't backslide. Don't stop now. You, Timothy, need to grow. You can't go backwards. You have to go forward. He says, but as for you, verse 14, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe. He doesn't say, you have learned, you have arrived, this is the deal. He says, continue in what you have learned. Continue, go forward. None of us have arrived. If you think you have arrived in any area of your life, your spiritual life, if you think you've arrived as like you're the best husband or the best father or the best wife or the best worker or the best employee or the best CEO, if you think you have arrived, that's where you're in a dangerous point. That's where you start backsliding. That's when you start becoming worse. That's when you start becoming arrogant. And that's when everything starts falling apart. We all have room for growth. We all have ability to grow more. And he says, Timothy, continue in it. Don't stop. Don't think you've arrived. Don't think that you're God's gift to humanity. You're not. Jesus was and is and will be forevermore. Keep going. Continue in that faith. Continue to grow. Continue to become a better Christian. Continue to become a better person. Continue to become better at everything. All areas of life. Okay, well, how do you become better at everything? Everything that matters anyways. How do you become better at everything that matters in life? And what we see Paul tell Timothy here, he says, you can become better at everything. At everything. By following the inspired word of God. By giving yourself over to the word of God every day. By immersing yourself, not in something that's just knowledgeable and you read it and go, okay, I know that now. It's not just rote memorization. Memorization's good, but it's not just saying, okay, I know that. It's not so much knowing it. It is allowing it every day to transform you and change you. He says you can become a better Christian. You can become better at everything worthwhile in this life, every good work, every good deed. Whether you're at home, whether you're doing your work, whether you are with family, you can become better at everything by giving yourself over to the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. This is what he says, second part of verse 14. He says, you know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, right? So you know their character. You know who they are. And they've taught you the Bible since before you could even understand. You have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So wisdom for salvation. Okay, wisdom for salvation, what does that mean? It means, look, I'm saved by Jesus. It is a free gift. There's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. If I trust that Jesus died for my sins and rose again, I will be saved. It is a free gift. That's it. He says, but wisdom for your salvation, what's your salvation for? Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Wisdom isn't just knowing things, it's how to use that knowledge. So what's the wisdom of our salvation? Like, I've got my salvation, Jesus saved me from my sins. What now? What do I use my salvation for? He's going to give them that. Verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I mean, you have to remember this. Paul is a Jewish person talking to a person who is also culturally Jewish. Genetically, he's half Jewish. He's a Jewish person. That means he has an Eastern mindset. They don't have the American mindset that we have where we divide our lives and we're like, well, this is my church life and over here is my work life. And, you know, what I do at work is never what I would do at church, right? And I got to use language and I got to use tactics over there that I'd never use over here. And then this is my home life, which is private. Look, you don't have to live with these kids. So I'm going to treat my kids how I'm going to treat my kids. And you can't get like, no, there is no concept that in an Eastern mindset, in an ancient Near East culture, like Paul came from and like Timothy is experiencing. It is all one. Your home life affects your work life, affects your church life. It's all together. You're going to the grocery store, you're still a Christian. You're going to work, you're still a Christian. You are sinning, you're still a Christian. It's all connected. And so he says to Timothy, the word of God, the inspired word of God is useful, equipped for every good work. So I think essentially what Paul is saying, look, if you want to improve every area of life, if you want to be better at everything you are doing, enhance yourself with the word of God. He uses the word strengthen. What does that mean? I think, you know, enhance, maybe that might be a better image for us. Enhance yourself with the word of God. What is that like? I mean, we understand diet, right? Like, you can't live with in America and not understand that what we eat affects us, right? If on the one hand you are eating nothing but junk food and candy bars and fast food all the time, I'm not judging, by the way. I'm not judging. if you eat nothing but sugar and carbs, eventually you feel like garbage. You really do. Right, and yet we often still do it. But if you have a healthier diet and say, you know what, I'm going to minimize all of the candy bars that I eat every day. We're gonna go down to one candy bar instead of 12, right? You actually start to feel better, and you actually start to have better energy. I think that's a little bit of what Paul is saying to Timothy here. He's saying, look, you know, Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's not just enough to get the skills training you need from work to be a good worker. It's not just enough to get married to be a good spouse. It's not just enough to try your best to be a good parent. He's saying those are good things that you can do, but we need the word of God. That enhances us. That strengthens every aspect of life. And we need it. How many of you brush your teeth? There are some reluctant hands going up there. That was strange. I guess so. Why do you brush your teeth? You hate the feel of plaque? Amen, sister. That's my number one reason. What? Why else? Your teeth will fall out of your mouth, right? I know I've quoted this before, but my wife had told me this saying she heard that you brush your teeth at night to keep your teeth, you brush your teeth in the morning to keep your friends. right? Yeah, so that's why. How often do you brush your teeth? Yeah, twice a day, three times a day. If I have something really sugary, I go and brush my teeth because I'm like, I can't stand that plaque feeling. Blah. Right? I'm a little crazy with that, right? But, you know, at least once a day, twice a day, three times a day. What would happen if you only brushed your teeth once a week? Once a month. Well, yeah. What happens if you only brush your teeth on Christmas and Easter? Yeah, you're brushing. If you guys didn't hear April, you won't be saying I'm brushing my teeth. You'd be saying I'm brushing my tooth, right? Yeah, it would be called a toothbrush instead of a teeth brush with reason, right? I just need my toothbrush here for the one tooth. Yeah, unreal. It's incredible. That's the same thing I think that Paul has given us here with this image of the word of God. The worst keep getting worse, but you continue in your faith. We have to be in the word. We have to enhance ourselves daily with the word of God. Regularly, at all times. It can't just be once in a while. It can't just be once a week. And guys, you know me. I'm a biblical preacher. We will preach through the word. You come here, you are going to hear the word of God preached. And praise God. And we need that. I need that. We all need to hear the word of God proclaimed publicly like we are right now. That's good. But it's not enough, right? If you only brush your teeth once a week, it's like, that's better than nothing, I suppose. If you only brush your teeth on Christmas and Easter, it's like, I don't know. I've been doing ministry now for 21 years. Yeah, 21 years. And over the course of that time, I've had conversation after conversation with parents who come, you know, two or three times a year to a church, either here, New York, California, and their kid grows up and they wander away from the church. And they're like, I don't know how they could wander away from Christ. And they said they're atheists and I don't understand how this happened. And it's like, well, you know, you only come to church like three times a year. I'm assuming you're not reading the Bible. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You eat every day. We need scripture every day. We need it. You brush your teeth every day. We need the word of God to cleanse us every day. We absolutely need it. I remember years ago, I worked at this welding supply store. AGL Welding, and I have great stories from that place. It was a challenging job, but I have fond memories in retrospect. But the lightest thing that we picked up there was 33 pounds, a 33-pound spool of wire. That was the lightest thing you moved. And of course, you couldn't just move one of them because, you know, that's a light thing, right? So you had to pick up two, so you're up to 66 pounds. And then you had 50-pound electrodes that you'd carry, right? And so, and then all these huge cylinders, and right? And so the first month I was there, man, I was hurting. I thought I was going to die. I was in pain all the time. I had a hard time sleeping because I was in so much pain. And then all of a sudden, it just went away, whatever. And then I met my future wife in college. She was going to college. I was working, so I was a townie. And we started dating and everything, and she encouraged me to go back to school. And I was like, cool. And she was like, yeah, you're so strong and everything. So I quit my job, and I continued my education at the university. And I don't know, it was like maybe what, a month or two later, she looks at me and she goes, what happened to you? And I'm like, what do you mean, what happened to you? And she's like, you used to have all these muscles and everything, and now this. I stopped working out. I mean, I never worked out. I just didn't work out. It's just I moved heavy things for a living, you know, 8 hours, 9 hours a day, 6 days a week. And so I was like, you're all big and huge, and I need to work out. And then, you know, I quit the job. I was like, I don't need to work out, right? And all the muscle went away. That's what happens when we don't put ourselves in the Word of God every day. You don't realize it's happening. I didn't realize it was happening. I'm still like looking in the mirror, like, yeah, you're awesome, right? And then my one day will be wife is like, what happened to you? It never went back, by the way. It never, like, never went back there. I don't have time to work out 8 hours a day anymore. But that's what happens when we don't give ourselves over to the Word of God. Now, some of you here are saying, like, wait a minute. You started off this sermon saying, how can you become better at everything, right? How is this going to improve every aspect of your life? Now, certainly, like, skills training, you know, reading the Word of God is not going to make you weld better, but it will make you a better welder. It's not going to make you a better accountant. It's not going to make you count numbers better, but it will make you a better accountant. Why? Because the Word of God changes us and transforms us. You know, you think about parenting, which, by the way, I will have a newborn at the age of 40. Now, that tepid clapping is how I feel about being that age. I'm very excited about the baby. I'm not excited about the baby when I'm 40. So marry those things together, right? But how does it improve you being a parent? Well, of course it does. When you're in the Word of God, the peace of God comes over you. He gives you insight. He gives you wisdom. He gives you understanding. He gives you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Oh my gosh, I need that. I needed that last night. Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I mean, how does that not enhance you being a parent? When you're in the Word of God changes you. The Holy Spirit changes you. He continues to mold your heart and puts you into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does that make you a better spouse? How does that make you a better husband? How does that make you a better wife? Oh my goodness. Let's go right back to the fruit of the Spirit. Patience? Patience? Anybody use patience in their marriage? Don't point at me. Because again, that was me last night. That will enhance it. But even in your professional careers, I mean, we live in a dark and dying world. We live in a world of frustration. We live in a world that is morally confused. And if they're saying, hey, fudge the numbers, and you say, no, I'm not going to fudge the numbers, that enhances your job. Like, even if there's repercussions for that, you are saving your company from doing something illegal that could get them in trouble. If you're a welder, right, or you're in construction, or you're working in any of physical hands-on things, how can it improve that? It's not going to make you weld better, but it will make you a better welder. It'll make you a better construction worker because you're not going to cut corners. You're not going to do things that are unsafe. You're going to be encouraging to people. You have to deal with really difficult clients or really difficult customers. And the Word of God changes us on how to deal with our enemies, how to deal with obnoxious people. Sometimes, and here's the other thing, right? When you are in the Word of God and you are connected to the Holy Spirit, it's a little like cheating, isn't it? At any point, you could say, God, the Holy Spirit, please give me help with this difficult person. And he does. And he gives you wisdom. And he gives you insight. And everyone else is like, you know, all your other coworkers are flying. They're like, oh, no, it's that guy, right? And they're all flying away. I don't want to deal with him. And you could boldly go up and like, I don't know how to deal with this person. Jesus dealt with people far worse than you, and the Holy Spirit lives within me. so I can work with you. And I can show you love even when you show me hate and scorn and disdain. It increases every area of our life. You can be better at everything. Worthwhile. That's what Paul says. Because he says, every good work. The way I'm saying that is everything. Everything worthwhile. Every good work. And by the way, you guys know, I go on this all the time, but I can't say it enough. My job is not more important than your job. I fully believe God has called us to every area of your life. And there's no job more important than the other. That God has called us there to influence that area for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring the love of Jesus to places that I can't go, but you can. I'm not going to go into your home. I'm not in your home at 2 a.m. when your spouse is awake and having a hard time. I'm not there, and it would be inappropriate if I was. And weird. What are you doing here, Pastor? Doing the ministry you can't do, right? Like, no. My job is not more important than your job, whether you're talking about stay-at-home mom, whether you're talking about a teacher, whether you're talking about a McDonald's worker, whether you're talking to a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, whether you're talking about a doctor or a nurse. They are different. They have different challenges. I understand that. But it's not more or less important than each other. God called you to that place so that you could minister and you could bring the love of Jesus there. And reading the Word of God every day, and hearing the Word of God proclaimed on a regular basis enhances all of those things. You can become better at everything, everything worthwhile, everything good, by enhancing yourself with the Word of God every day, the inspired Word of God. The way I see it, is there are two major problems with the Big C Capital Church in America right now. I mean, there's lots of other problems. I think there's two major problems. The first one is that Christians do not read their Bibles. We don't. There have been study after study, and I've watched those studies over the last decade, and those numbers, they don't move. They are abysmally low. Christians don't read their Bible. Now, evangelicals, you say, oh, well, we have been very consistent. We say, yes, the Bible is the Word of God, right? We say that with our lips, but our hearts are far away. Because every study has shown that evangelical Christians are just as bad as other Christians at not reading our Bibles and not being in the Word of God every day. That's number one. Number two is, I think so much preaching that happens in America is what I call Frankenstein sermons. Frankenstein sermons being where the speaker takes an idea that they have and they say, "I my people need to hear this," or "people need to hear this message." And so then they go into the Bible and find Bible verses, whether they're in context or out of context, that support the speaker's ideas. I think there are far too many sermons like that, because the problem with that is it doesn't mean that they're evil. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily wrong. They might be good ideas. But when I start with my own ideas, you're only as strong as me. I told you guys, over 21 years ago, I stopped working out. So you're not going to be all that strong. If I'm giving you my ideas, you're never going to rise above my level. And if you rise to my level, it's a pretty pathetic level, okay? It really is. I'm not trying to put myself down or anything, but it's a really pathetic level if you rise to my level of spiritual power. But if I start with the Word of God, if I start with His ideas and I communicate His ideas to you, well then, like, the sky's the limit. It's infinite power. I'm just a mouthpiece at this point. I'm basically an overglorified speaker. It's God's ideas that are changing you. It's God's ideas that are transforming you. I don't have to convince you to follow my ideas. I'm showing you God's way is better. So we don't read our Bibles, and there's far too much Frankenstein preaching, where we are just man's ideas, which may or may not be correct or wrong, and we try and find scriptures to support my idea, and then we tell people. There's no power in that. There's no power. There's no power. My ideas can't transform you. I'm sorry. They can't. Wish they could. They can't. God's ideas can. So how do we deal with this? So let's start with the first one. We don't read our Bibles. I understand our lives are incredibly busy, aren't they? Like they are. They really are. You got to find the time. In fact, when I was working on this text, I was reading a Bible, our Bible, like a kiddified version Bible, every morning to our kids at breakfast. And then like summer hit, and then we went on vacation. I was like, we'll take a break, take a break, take a break. And then we didn't do it again. And then I'm working on this text, and I'm like, nuts. Like I was really convicted as I'm praying through this text. Like, oh man, I've got to start doing this again. So I started doing it again, just like 3 days ago. Okay, like so it's not I'm not a spiritual powerhouse here. I'm telling you my deficiencies. I understand the time is an issue, right? So you're just gonna have to repurpose some of your time. We live in a time right now where we have so many resources to get into the Word. So if you're driving, use Bible Gateway's app. Use Bible.com's app. You can listen to the Bible while you're driving, right? If you have a drive, like spend 10 minutes in the Word that way. Spend 20 minutes in the Word that way. You can choose if you watch the news, if you're a news junkie, you know what? You have a mute button. Like, this isn't optimal, but if this is what takes you to get the Word, hit the mute button and start reading the Word during the commercials. Okay? That starts to get you in there. Starts to brush your teeth a little bit, right? Or if you watch 3 hours of news a day, first of all, stop. That's not healthy. And I like that really isn't healthy. Second of all, like you could spend a half hour, get everything you need, you're good to go for the rest of the day. But maybe spend 2 hours watching the news and just spend some more time in the Word. Or instead of doom scrolling on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Instead of doom scrolling, put an app on your phone and say, before I go to Facebook, let me spend some time in the Word. It's going to be far more beneficial, even if you just spend 5 minutes a day, even if you spend 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night, even if you just spend that much, it's so much more beneficial than anything you're going to see, anything. Oh, well, I have Bible verses that are up on the thing. Pastor, I saw you post one. Yeah, not the same thing. Spend some time in the Word. It's what's going to change us. It's what's going to mold us. The other thing with Frankenstein sermons, we have to be more discerning. Just because it's on a radio station does not mean it's a biblical sermon. It really doesn't. You have to be discerning, church. You have to listen to this sermon and say, wait a minute, is this pastor or this preacher or this speaker, are they like just jumping around like every text? And I have no clue what that text context actually was. Or do they stay like in the text? I mean, it's okay to bring other verses. I mean, I quoted Jesus, right? I think that's okay to do this in this verse, in this text. Are they helping me to understand what this text is saying? Or are they jumping around from text to text to text to text, and I have no clue what the context is? I have no clue what Paul was saying here or what Moses was saying here. I'm just listening to the sermon, the preacher's idea, and I would never be able to find a text to support exactly what they're saying unless they did their method. They're like Frankenstein's monster. They're just taking text out of place. They're sewing them together and saying, it's alive. Is it powerful? Is it life-changing? Is it telling you what you want your itching ears to hear? Or is it actually challenging you to go closer to Christ, to become a more humble person, and to follow after Christ more deeply? You can enhance yourself. You can enhance yourself. Actually, you can't enhance yourself. God can enhance you. If you are in the Word every day, you can become better at everything if you're enhanced by the Word of God every day. Brush your teeth every day. Let's pray. Father, first of all, Father, I pray that we are not inspired to read the Word out of guilt. I know I treaded into that area. So, Father, I first and foremost pray that there is no one here who opens up their Bible out of a place of guilt, but instead out of a place of power, realizing that you have given us your Word. You have communicated to us powerfully, and we have every opportunity to read it and to be transformed, to be changed by it. We can have every area of our life enhanced. That doesn't mean that our lives are necessarily going to be easier, but it means that we will be aware of you walking with us every step of the way. It means that we will be transformed and equipped and enhanced to deal with those problems and deal with those situations, whatever and however they may come. Father, I pray for this congregation. I pray that as we attest as a congregation that we believe your word is the word, and it is authoritative, and it is inerrant and infallible, I pray that we believe it with our lives. I pray that the distractions that come, you will take them away. Or better yet, you help us to realize that there is nothing that compares to hearing your voice in your word. Nothing. And so we can put down the phone, we can close the social media, we can turn off the TV, we can turn off the news, and we can spend time listening to you and being transformed by you. I pray that we do this for ourselves. I pray that we do this for our spouses. I pray that we do this for our children. I pray that we do this for our neighbors. Help us to be known as people of the word, and help us to actually be people of the word. And as you transform us, may we never become arrogant. May we never become prideful. Humble us, realizing that who we are and all that we have is given to us by you, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. It is in Jesus Christ's name that we thank you and pray. Amen.